welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henges.
First, congratulations on making it to the Class 5 state title game.
Thank you, Tom.
Looking back at last week, it's another game where y'all found a way to win.
Yeah. We've done that a lot during the playoffs. We knew they were all going to be tough games, you know, and you just have to grind it out sometimes and find a way, whether that's with great defense or an opportunistic interception, which ends up in, you know, a one-play touchdown. at the end of the game, I don't know if this is cliche, but at the end of the game, you just got to have more points than your opponent. And at this point, and the run that we're making, I just want to win. As the old Al Davis, just win, baby, just win. It doesn't have to be pretty. We just have to score more points than our opponents, and when our defense has been playing so well as they have, they give us a really good chance.
You know, the offense had one good drive, you know, 80 yards, but it turned out that was the key drive for them in the game.
It was. You know, that was our second drive coming out in the third quarter, and I thought we mixed it up well. Austin ran the ball well. And it was pretty much all on the ground, but it was inside, outside. We kind of kept them a little bit off balance. They didn't know where we were going with it. We ran hard. We protected the football. The drive killing penalties and the turnovers, we just have to avoid those things on Saturday night. You know, we've been pretty good. We're plus 20 in the turnover margin. We've been really good this year protecting the football. We just weren't last Friday.
Yeah.
That was uncharacteristic for us. So protect the football, avoid those drive killing penalties. And obviously Platte County is a really good football team. But you know, we feel like we got a chance if we play well.
You know, and that's thing, Platte County tonight should be a good game. You know, they've been kind of at the elite level of Class 5 for the last few years, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They played here at our stadium in 2020 against Jackson, and you know, they've got a really good program and, you know, very consistent, you know, very, very senior-dominated football team with a lot of experience, playoff experience. And I know they come in with a lot of confidence, undefeated. They've been playing really well, averaging 48 points a game. You know, their defense is very stingy like our defense is, only giving up about 13 or 14 points a game. We know we have our hands full. This will be our toughest game of the year.
Offensively, what do they do just in general?
Well, you know, they run very similar concepts to that we do. They probably do a little bit more RPO than we do. They're a pretty balanced offense, really. But as our scout team is trying to mimic their offense for our number one defense, I can always tell how easy, you know, their offense translates into our offense when we're able to just put their offense into our verbiage. And our kids can run it with a high degree of confidence because this is what we do.
Yeah.
And there was probably 60% of the plays that we could just put into our terminology. So I think we're similar. Their quarterback's a little taller. He's probably a little bit more of a pocket passer. But their scheme-wise, offensively and defense, I think is similar to our schemes.
You say defensively, what are they operating?
They're forefront. They're a forefront team. And they'll run a little 4-3. And, you know, if we go 3-by-1, they'll bump the other linebacker in the box. So it'll kind of look like a 4-2-5. But their base defense is a 4-3.
You know, this is the 10th title game for the program. You're fourth as a head coach. What are these weeks like preparation? Do you try to keep it as normal as possible?
I think it's important with the routine for the boys. We don't do anything out of the ordinary. I say the one thing we probably did this week is we backed off on the full contact. I mean, we played such physical games, you know, over the last month, and we are a little beat up. And so we did more thud tempo this week than we normally do. Maybe a few more walkthroughs because, as I said many times, if you can't block and tackle at this time, you're not going to teach them this week. We want to be fresh. You know, we want to feel like we're at our, you know, peak physically and mentally going into this game. And so other than maybe backing off on some of the full speed tackle to the ground hitting, it's been a pretty typical week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. That was all I said, Coach Chris Hinches. Tom, we've come to the long, long, long end of a long season. But let's try to give a day one effort on day, 100 of the season, I guess it might be at this point. So, okay, so first, let's look back to last week. I mean, I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school, and it looked like for, you know, vast portions of last week, Helias might not thinking, was maybe not thinking it was going to be playing for a state title today, because that Lafayette Wildwood game went down to the, you know, to the very bitter end, and ends up being a 14-13 win.
Yeah, Lafayette scored the first 13 points of the game, but credit to Hawaii's defense, kept them out of the end zone in the first quarter when they were deep in territory, held them to two field goals. It was only 6-0, then gave up a touchdown, and all of a sudden, you know, it's 13-0. And, you know, that's the biggest deficit Hawaii's had faced all year in a game, which is kind of surprising,
right?
But, you know, it tells you how well the defense has played this year.
And, sure.
But, you know, then they get back into it. They score. They get a big play from the defense from Ben Holly making an interception late in the second quarter. And two plays later, you know, Austin Weaver throws a 25-yard touchdown pass to C.J. Howell. It's 13-7 at halftime, and everybody's feeling good. And then, because they're getting the ball to start the third quarter, you thought, okay, momentum, train, down the tracks, let's go. Well, the train ran them over. They fumbled on the third play in the third quarter, gave the ball deep in their territory to Lafayette. Defense makes another stand. They miss a field goal. And at that point, Helias, you know, I think Coach Hinches and Coach Rockers, the offensive coordinator, just said, that's it. We're just going to bow our way down the field.
Right.
And so it was just 14 straight runs, a couple of big runs mixed in for, you know, I think 20 yards and 17 yards, but a lot of just grinding it out. 14 plays, find the end zone. Brady Fan scores. Nick Calverizzo kicks the extra point. It's 14-13 late in the third quarter. And then, you know, you get to the fourth quarter. Helias is still trying. He's still playing good defense. You know, Lafayette was more than a little hampered. The fact that their starting quarterback got injured somewhere. It was either late in the second quarter or somewhere in the third quarter.
Okay.
I mean, he played the third quarter, but, you know, he was shaking his hand and things. He didn't play. He may have played one or two snaps total in that fourth quarter, and that kind of turned them into a one-dimensional team. And at that point, they were, you know, have to run the ball every play, and Helias was just going to tee off on that and play great defense, you know. And the defense stood up, 14-13 win. As you know, Coach Ray Hinches was down there after the game. He said, "Tom, it doesn't matter if you win by 50 or you win by one.
Right.
You just want to win." And I said, "Coach Hinches, you are correct." And so now they're getting, you know, they get to the championship game tonight.
Yeah, and so I think it's worth reinforcing that we've known all along that this was a pretty special defensive group. They've kind of been putting it up and putting it up and putting it up. And I think sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle sometimes when you know, it's easier to talk about other flashier things. But when a defense has played this well, and then when they answer the bell time after time after time when you need them the most, that was just a humongous performance by them.
It was, and because that was a team that could just throw the ball over the lot, and they were just not letting them do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they ran a little bit, but nothing spectacular. It just, you know, really the defense kept them in the, you know, kept Elias in the game.
Yeah.
Because it could have very well been 21-0 at one point, and then you're really having problems, and having only be 13, that was something special.
And keeping them to 13, I think, was also key from the standpoint of, it wasn't just that you were keeping them out of the end zone, but it was kind of like you were stiffening far enough away from the end zone that I think, you know, I think Lafayette missed, what, two field goals?
Yes.
Two attempts in the game. So I think because they were long enough kicks, you stiffened, didn't let them get into the point where it's chip shot range, because either one of those, you know, if you get three here or three there, all of a sudden, you know, you lose that game. So it was stiffening at the right times and not even really letting them get close enough to the end zone to make it a problem.
Yeah, you know, just big plays. Just, you know, I think they missed, the ones they missed were in the 40s, but the young man did kick a 42-yarder too.
Right.
So he was capable of making them, he just didn't make them at that point. And you know, we've seen it all year. I'm working on another story that we'll talk about in a little bit about what they've done all year, but the defense has scored touchdowns for them and has gotten all kinds of turnovers. You know, Hawaii's, frankly, and, well, we'll start talking about this now.
Okay, right.
Hawaii's is plus 20 in turnover margin this year, which is outstanding. Now, let's go to last Saturday. Lost three fumbles and threw an interception. That's four.
Right.
Got one turnover, that interception by Ben Holly. That's -3.
Yeah.
I did a little checking, just, you know, little Google search, and it wasn't able to find a place to put this in any of the stories. But if you, in the NFL, they say in the NFL, if you are -3 in turnovers, you have a 20% chance to win.
Right.
So, and they say, you know, you go to college, it's probably a little higher, high school is probably a little higher, but let's just say 25% chance to win when you turn it over 3 times.
Right.
And so, when you, oh, I'm sorry, turnover, you know, margin -3. So, they did a really good job of just finding a way to win.
Yeah. And again, I think it can't... We can't harp on it enough. It's just you made a team that was used to scoring a fair amount of points just get frustrated probably at some point. But let's flip it to the other side and go, I think Helias at some point was probably realizing, like, we're just killing ourselves. So at some point, we have to stop it. And I know that they felt like, you know, and you mentioned it last week, I think the passing game's been coming on. But at some point, when that's not working and it's just not working on that day, sometimes you're not just going to keep bashing your head in the wall and say, we're going to do it regardless. Sometimes you got to be smart enough to go, we're done with that. Let's try something else. And that's like you mentioned earlier, that's what they decided to do. And running the ball was what won them the game.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, they took care of the ball on that 14
right.
play drive.
Yep.
You know, just banging it and running hard. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, the run game sometimes isn't all that, you know, doesn't get all the attention or all that spectacular.
Sure.
But, you know, this year with between Alex Marbury and C.J. Howell and, you know, Brady Phan, who leads him in touchdowns, by the way, with 14 rushing touchdowns this year, and Alex Weaver, who's Austin, sorry, gosh, this is a long week. He leads him in rushing this year, and so the running game has really kind of, I think, developed a little more during the year, and so that is something that I think we may see a lot of tonight.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. Turning our attention tonight. Basically, with that win, Helias improves to 12-1 on the season. They're going to be taking on an undefeated 13-0 Platte County tonight at 7 o'clock in the Class 5 state championship game.
At Faroe Field.
At Faroe Field. But before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of that game, I think it's worth time to kind of take the macro view of this and look at it and go, you know, I think I asked you maybe midway through the season, Tom, I'm not hearing a lot of chatter about can this team go the distance. There are a lot of years where you hear people saying, this team can go all the way, this team can go all the way, this team's not good enough to go all the way. I was kind of surprised as the season wore on how little chatter I was just hearing from any of the fans, any of the kind of the people around town. It was just weirdly quiet, almost like they maybe didn't want to jinx it. Well, now here we are, you know, we're to the final week of the season, and they're in the state title game. So does this surprise you at all? And were you one of the ones that were maybe, like, quietly optimistic, who wasn't saying much?
It was hard to tell. You know, they brought back a lot.
Okay.
From a team that had broken through and won a Class 5 district title.
Right.
So I thought, okay, this is a team that can make a run with all kinds of starters back on both sides of the ball, and most importantly, all 5 linemen back on offense, and a lot of them and back on defense. Really,
the
most important thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing talking to Chris about it. He said, you know, I asked him, like, I said, did you think this could happen? And he said, well, with our line, it started with our line play. We had the size because, you know, there is a difference in size players between Class 4 and Class 5.
Right.
You can, yeah, bigger schools, you just have more kids to pick from. They had the size this year that they could go up against those bigger schools and hold their own or better.
Right.
And so he was confident about that. Now you kind of, you know, you get through the year, the offense was rolling early, then kind of has, frankly, you know, ending the year week 9 against Live for Life, who was a Class 3 semifinalist and a very good team. They struggled that day to get off to score. You know, they did well in the districts, but then the kind of when you get to the quarterfinals and semifinals, again, offense having a little problem getting enough on the board.
Right.
So that was my question, was whether they could score enough, especially with kind of, you know, the injury, you know, to Alex Marbury and things. And at times, their inability to throw the ball, and especially throw the ball deep to what I think is a pretty good talented group of receivers
yeah.
that you just kind of kept waiting for that to take off. You know, one of the first things Chris asked me almost after every game was how many total yards do we have? And they barely got over 400 a couple times. And 400 is basically their goal every game.
Okay.
It was just, they were just having one thing here, one thing there, and things just weren't clicking. That would have been my question. I think the defense was state championship game quality all year.
Sure.
It was just, could the offense kind of catch up?
Yeah.
And at times they have, and at times they played really well. And, I mean, let's face it, when they have to, they've done it in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
So I think you, it would be a mistake to think that they cannot do that again tonight.
Yeah. So it's been a long season. They've gotten to the point, you know, there's just that one hiccup you look back on, which was weeks and weeks ago. You've done what you're supposed to do down the stretch. You're winning, whether it be ugly, pretty, whatever. You're winning. You've gotten yourself to this point. I think it's worth noting that everybody should pick up a copy of today's paper because, in addition to an excellent preview that you have in there, it's also kind of a game-by-game look at the season, and it kind of gives you a really good idea of how we've gotten to this point. So I think it's worth revisiting. And we've got one for Blair Oaks as well, who's also playing his Class 3 state title game today, so that's worth picking it up for that. But I think it just gives you a good kind of feel of how this season has gone. And while I don't ever think, like I say, I don't think I've ever heard like a lot of people making noise, I think there was maybe a quiet confidence where you go, this team's probably good enough, and for sure that coaching staff is always good enough to get them to this point. Now you're to this point, which makes us happy to focus on today. So, again, you're taking on a Platte County team that's gone perfect through this point, the season to this point. So what is it today that's going to be the biggest concern for Helias going into the state title game, other than the fact that you're playing for a state title and all, yeah. all the stuff that yeah. that brings?
And that there are 16, 17, and 18-year-olds right. running around out there playing for right. state titles and
exactly.
are probably justifiably quite nervous.
Right, sure.
You know, Platte County, the consensus number two team in the state all year behind Cardinal Ritter. You know, just a reminder, Cardinal Ritter lost to Lafayette in the quarterfinals in a pretty big upset. This is kind of a team that starts 10 starter. You talk about a team that had expectations to get here. This was a, you know, Platte County is a team that had expectations to
sure.
get here. You know, they, 10 senior starters on defense. It's a defense that's allowing less than 12, it's like 12 and a half points a game or something okay. in that neighborhood. And it's gotten better kind of as the season has gone on. And offensively, they run a spread just like Helias does. And you look, they're kind of similar. You know, Chris was talking about how kind of similar they are in a lot of things they do. He said you just kind of watch their film and you try to, you know, you have your scout team simulate like what they run on offense. And he said, you know, we do enough stuff similar that we just call what we call that play
okay.
and we know how to do it.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to teach these kids on the fly new plays. He said, you know, so a lot of stuff they do is the same.
Okay.
You know, defensively, it's a four-man front. You know, I think sometimes they play a lot, two linebackers and five backs, but it's four and three. But whatever. I mean, it's basically the same things. So when you look at that, it's going to come down to execution, I think. And,
yes.
and what, you know, can you get, who gets past the nurse first? Who gets the big break? The big break or two or three that you're going to need to win a state title.
Right. So as you kind of look at their ledger this year, you kind of look at it and there's a lot of big lopsided wins. There's a lot
yeah.
of points. There's a lot of games in the, you know, 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think maybe if you're a Helias fan looking to take heart in something is the fact that, you know, there have been a lot of wide spreads, but, you know, two of the maybe biggest point totals they've allowed all season long have come in the last three games. You know, they gave up 30 last week, beating MICDS 44-30, and then they beat St. Pius X out of Kansas City 3 weeks yeah. ago, 45-23. Those are kind of the real games where they've given up kind of the biggest amount of point allowances. So you go, okay, I get that. They're playing better teams. They're probably going to give up more. So, you know, it's a team otherwise, though. You look at a lot of them, and there's a 71-7 score on yeah. their ledger this year, too.
Yeah, you know, you get Pius X, who was number three. You know, that was for a district title, number two playing number three. And they ended up winning by what? I think it was
45-23.
45-23.
Yep.
Okay, that was close. Man, again, a long week. That I think you can point to that one as kind of one of their signature wins of the year.
Right.
And so, you know, to get past that, I'll call it a hurdle.
Right.
You know, and then you get through, and they're you know, playing pretty good teams, you know,
sure.
all the way through. You know, MICDS was unranked, but, you know, it, that's a very quality program. And you know, I don't want to say that the game was close or in doubt last week, but they did give up 30. You know, and I, you know, Platte County won comfortably, but you know, I think you can hang your hat on the fact that, well, you can score against them.
Right. So a lot of times when you ask coaches who should be watching out for, they just give you numbers. I'm going to ask you for some names, but like, who are some people from Platte County today that maybe Helias fans should be aware of heading into this game?
Quarterback and running back. And how's that?
How about their names?
Oh, okay. The quarterback, Rocco Marriott, he's a junior. Has thrown for 2,800 yards this year, 37 touchdowns, thrown at least two touchdowns in all but one game this year. And he's one of the leading rushers with 570 yards, and he's run for a touchdown in 12 or 13 games.
Okay.
So he's kind of a do-it-all guy. And the thing is, you know, we'll just go back to who last played in the postseason, like last week. Number one, and I apologize for not remembering this young man's name. He was the key. They wanted to make sure where he was all the time, and they did a good job stopping him. Not the quarterback. He was a wide receiver slash running back, kind of a jack-of-all-trades kid. They knew where he was.
Okay.
They were good. Then you get back to, like, let's go back to Lebanon. Jax Glendening.
Yeah.
You know, came into the game, run for 2,500 yards, gets 34 against them. They knew what they had to do there.
Right.
The problem was going to be against Marriott is, yeah, he's the one you got to keep your eye on all the time, but he's also going to be the one that's got the ball in his hands all the time.
Right.
Which is going to make it kind of difficult. So, you know, he's the key. He's one of the five finalists for the Simone Award in Kansas City, which goes to the top prep player in the Kansas City metro area. I think he's the only junior on the list, so he's having a really good junior year, obviously, and starting to get D1 looks from what I understand.
Okay.
So he's going to be, I think, you know, it kind of starts with them.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you kind of look at the stats, and they are somewhat similar when you look at Helias and Platte County, the fact that, you know, they get a lot of yards throwing the ball, but they have like four or five guys kind of crunched around it in rushing around the same number, and it's kind of the same way with them. You know, the running back, Adam Giesler, he's another junior who missed a few games this year, but he has 680 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. You know, he's been back for eight games, scored in all eight games that he's been back. Wide receiver, Trey Baskerville, he leads him with 39 catches, 956 yards, 9 touchdowns. I know a podcast where you just rattle off stats are horrible sounding, but it's a state title game, give us a break. And so, you know, they're good. And one thing Coach Hanks said about their line, it says that, you know, they're not a lot of big kids, but they're all like 225, 230 and athletic.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's not, you know, you're not going to see the old belly roll on some of these guys. You know, they're big and they come after you.
Okay.
And so I think that's going to be the test for Helias. What can they do up front? Because, it starts there. You know, they like to throw the ball. You've got to get pressure on the quarterback. You have to be able to cover.
Yep.
That's where it goes. Okay. And, you know, whether that comes, how you decide to get that pressure is going to be a deciding factor. You know, if they can force him, make him uncomfortable. Don't let him get out of the pocket to run. You know, they did a pretty good job last week on the Lafayette quarterback not letting him run, but they just would get a hand on him but couldn't sack him. And so I think if they can pick up a sack or two early, make him think about it a little bit, that could be a part of slowing down their offense.
Okay. On the flip side of the ball for Platte County, is there a difference maker on the defense that you go, okay, that kid's amazing, or is it just kind of, you know, a good solid team effort on that side?
It's a solid team effort. They just, you know, they return a bunch of guys on that side. They're kind of like Helias. They run a rotation through up front on the line. If the playoffs have gone on, I understand they've kind of cut it down to like six, where it was more than that, but they're just going to run guys through to try to keep them fresh. You know, again, I said 10 senior starters, play a 4-2-5, most of the time. The team has, I think, 31 sacks, and they like to blitz.
Yeah, okay.
Then they will blitz from anywhere.
All right, okay.
And so you've got, if you are a Helias running back, or the H-back back there all the time, you've got to be ready to at least throw a chip to try to slow them down, because they are going to try to get to the quarterback every time he goes back.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit of, you know, the kind of auxiliary stuff that goes into today. Obviously, the first thing you want to mention is, yes, we're at Furrow. I think the last time Elias played for a state title was not there. So
Elias has never played a Furrow field.
So that's notable. So I think there's a little bit that goes into that. I think, you know, as much of a thing as it was when you went to the Dome and that was kind of a neat thing, I think there is something still to be said for kids that get to play where Mizzou plays. So how much an effect do you think that plays into
that? You know, it's a big stage. Obviously, the biggest stage that I'm going to, you know, either team will have played on. All year, and there will definitely be some nerves, and you just got to get, you know, but, you know, you realize field's 100 yards long, end zones are 10 yards long, goalposts are the same width.
Right.
You're playing on turf. Everything is basically the same as what you've been playing at Ray Hitchens Stadium. You know, it's just a bigger barn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and supposedly the weather's not supposed to be that bad. It was getting
better. Look at you stealing my next
question. Sorry, Tony, you have another question?
I do have another question.
Yes.
Well, like I say, you know, if this game tonight, I think, is going to be a little bit nicer than it would have been if we're talking two nights ago when it was really chilly overnight. I do feel like this might be, I don't know, it's always a fair test because it affects both teams the same way, but I do feel like I'd rather see this game be not where something where you're like everybody's hands are stone because they're so cold. So I think this is going to be a game where you go, this might be decided more by the teams than it is by the elements.
Yeah, you know, the weather looks like it's more like mid-November than mid-December, which, right. You know, everybody should be happy about it. And yeah, you just hate to see a state title game come down to who can handle the cold better.
Right.
And I don't think it should be any factor at all.
Sure.
You know, as long as there's no wind or, you know, the wind's down a little bit,
right.
You know, both teams should be able to throw the ball, and I think it's all good.
So then the other last kind of intangible that you always think about at this point is health. So how healthy are the Crusaders coming in this game, and how likely are they to have a full complement of guys for the most important game of the season?
Everybody should play.
Okay.
The one question would be, was Alex Marbury. He suffered a concussion in the game against Republic. Didn't even think about playing him last week. He still had to get through concussion protocol, and has gotten better and better throughout the week. He will be a true game time decision,
okay.
You know, because you never know, there could be a setback sometime during the day or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it looks like, if at all possible, he's going to get to play, which is great, because that young man is just, you know, injured one ankle, sat, injured the other ankle, had to sit, then the concussion. A kid who was really poised to have a really big year as a running back and a return person, just, you know, injuries have just gotten in the way. If he can come back, he would give them, Elias, another weapon tonight,
sure.
Which you're going to need, because then that's another person not only that you can put at running back, but it can play a little bit in the secondary or give some rest time to people that you know, like a C.J. Howell, who would start in his place and also plays on defense. You know, the numbers, Elias, not that deep. You know, they've got a lot of kids, but they're not that deep. And so, you know, anybody that can play will really help them out.
All right. Guess that gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you, who comes out on top tonight for the Class 5 state title?
All right. You ready for a story?
Sure. I love stories.
Grandpa's about to talk. Okay, this will be my eighth time covering Elias in a state title game.
Okay.
So the eighth run to a title game. I can tell you more often than not, somewhere in that run, there's been a clunker.
Okay.
You know, just a game that the result was, how did that happen? You know, that they win, but how did that happen? You know, they were so much better than that team, or they kind of got fortunate to win or whatever, but there's been those type of games, and I think we saw maybe not only one of them last week, but maybe again last against Republic.
Okay.
So people that haven't been following high school football, and really, you know, that last Friday game, the only high school game in the state on Black Friday, people could go pay their money and watch it on TV, probably have an impression of Elias that they're not very good.
Okay.
And let me tell you something, they are better than that.
Okay.
And it's, you know, they, you know, and Chris, one of the first things he said to me after that game was, we have to be better than this or it's not going to go good in the state title game.
Right.
So, and they know it, and they've worked all week to make sure that they are better than that. I'm going to count that game as a clunker.
Okay.
So just erase that from the memory. Again, You win by one, you still win.
Right.
I think that Hollis is poised to have a better game tonight.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I think they the seniors are really want to win a state title.
Yeah.
You know, and I think all respect in the world for Platte County, 13-0, great season. I think it's going to be teams that are very, very similar. I think it's going to lead to a very close game, and it is going to come down to who makes the play, who doesn't turn the ball over at the worst time,
okay.
Who can perhaps have a play or two in special teams that turns the tide. And as we have talked about multiple times, live special teams all year have been very special.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Hollis to win. I think, and people will think that is a bit of an upset. Platte County should most definitely be considered the favorite going into the game, 13-0. But I think Hollis is going to find a way to win. I'm going to say Hollis 27-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.